the Lord forever. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. All right. Well, everybody move up forward here. Everybody, all in the back, y'all move up forward. Y'all don't have any babies. Amen. You don't have to go nurse any babies. Amen.
Amen.
Get up here close. Sit back there too far. Hallelujah. All right, let's find our Bibles, 1 Thessalonians 5 and Hebrews chapter 4. And let's get back in this, what we were talking about. Amen. I have about, counting tonight, I guess four more. Is that right? Counting tonight?
Pardon?
Counting tonight, four more? Hallelujah. On the Spirit, Soul, and Body series. And we'll be done with that. And we will have, at the end of this, we will have finished up what? Let's see. Faith, spirit, soul, and body. Doctrinal emphasis. Fivefold ministry. Is that all of them? Those were good. Been real good. Amen. Hope you had a good 4th of July. Good vacation. Ready to get back in and fight the good fight, right? Hallelujah. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's just start reading and let's talk about tonight. Let's talk about spiritual power in a physical body. Amen. Spiritual power in a physical body. You ever heard of such a thing? Well, it's all through the Bible. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Remember, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, all one peace, all of you. And I pray God your whole spirit, and understood that you would be whole soul and whole body. I don't imagine he'd want to sanctify part of your body. He'd want it all, wouldn't he? Amen. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Everybody say, God will do it. If I'll participate with him. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at some scriptures here. Let's look at verse 10 and through 12. I believe that's what we want to look at. For he that is entered into his rest. Now, what do you do when you enter something? You go into something. You remember when they entered into the Canaan land? They entered. Now, Canaan land was a rest. It was a type of a rest, which is a type of our day, the church age. We are living in today the Sabbath of God. The Sabbath, the rest of God. And they entered into the promised land. You are to enter into the rest of God. Now, how far does that rest go? Now, when we talk about rest, we're talking about ceasing from all of our labors. When you work all day, you know, especially on like Sunday mornings, yeah, I don't know if you understand or not, I've said it to you before, but that preaching sometimes draws quite a bit of strength out of you. Especially if you're all keyed up and the anointing's on you and the strong and all that, you know, and you go into it. And then when you're done, you don't realize how much energy you've exhausted or used until it's over. Then you just want to sit down and you want to rest. So you just stop. You don't do anything. You're resting. Now, let's just see how far this rest goes. We read verse 10, he that's entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, labors, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to do what? I thought you said we're not going to labor. Look, labor to enter into that rest. The only work you ought to do is the work to get into that rest. Amen. Which shouldn't take much. Just believe and receive. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief or hardness of heart. Stubbornness, right? Their unbelief was stubbornness. Now go back a bit, hold your place, go back to verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So they fell out the same example of unbelief because they didn't mix faith with what they heard, did they? For the word of God. Now, he's qualifying the rest of God. the cessation from all of our labors. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, the subject matter there was faith, their unbelief, but there's a rest that remaineth. Verse 9 says, there remain therefore rest to the people of God. Now, we're talking about a rest for, how far does it go? For your spirit, a rest for your soul, and a rest for your body. A Sabbath for your spirit. What do you suppose a Sabbath for your spirit would be? A rest for your spirit. You're no longer a child of the devil. You're no longer under the curse of the law. You are the redeemed. You're born again. You're a new creature in Christ. You have God's spirit, God's life, God's nature in you, His ability. You have an inheritance. You're part of the family. Amen. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Boy, that's a rest, isn't it? That's not out there trying to make it and see how hard you can work to make it. And then there's a rest for your soul. So man lives on three dimensions. We said man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives on a body, right? And we talked about the development of the recreated human spirit of man. And that man puts out a force, a power, and that force is called faith, isn't it? That's the power that comes out of the spirit of man, faith. And we know that this is the victory overcomes the world, even our faith. We know that this is how God created everything, through the force of faith. God's our Father. Amen. Amen. Our Father, and our Father operates. He's a faith God, a faith Father, so we're faith children. Then we talked about the development of the soul of man, and there is a power that's produced from the development of the soul of man. You can call it soul power, but we call it willpower, because your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. Willpower. People need willpower, don't they? And you find a great lack of that in the church, so there's the power. Now, in Hebrews 4:12, who had the Amplified there? Who's got the Amplified? Somebody's got it. I know they're bound to have it. Let me read it to you. I believe you're in the school. I have it written down for you, but I want to just read it to the rest of us. Amplified. For the word that God speaks is alive. King James says quick and powerful, didn't it? Is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Penetrating. Swords penetrate, don't they? Okay. Penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. So he's telling you there that the Word of God penetrates. And the Word of God penetrates spirit, penetrates soul, and penetrates body. And the Word of God is living. And the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is a powerful, living thing that penetrates spirit, soul, and body, that produces power in the spirit, power in the soul, and power in the body. Now, how does it produce power in the spirit? Just got through telling you. What is the power that comes out of the spirit of man? That force is in there. Faith, which comes from what? The Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when you hear the Word of God, the Word penetrates your spirit. But when it penetrates that sword, it produces power in your spirit, man. And that power will overcome the world. This is the victory to overcome the world, even our faith. Can you say amen to that? So it's quick, or quick means living. It is active. It is a living, active, alive, energizing, a powerful, living thing that is life-producing thing. Now, the word there is logos. And when you talk about for the logos of God, I always say the contents, all of God saying His words. So His words produce power in our spirit, our soul, and our body. Amen. And we enter, and by entering in to the spirit of man, it produces a rest for the spirit of man. By entering in to the soul of man, it produces a rest. How many of you know that at times you need rest for your soul? You ever had your soul all messed up, full of anxiety, stressed out? I mean, you know, the devil works on your head, don't he? Huh? Don't he work on your head? Have you ever got shook up over things in your head? Your spirit man believes in God, but your head's in the way. and your head is the go-between that's going to make the difference between whether you're going to fail or succeed by what's in your head and what you're thinking. Because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Thinking is the gatekeeper to your heart. If you allow that doubt and unbelief to come out of your mind and go into your heart, if you do not cast down evil imaginations, and the evil imaginations are going to come, you're losing, you're failing, you're dying, it's sick, it's too late, there's no hope. We'll have to bury you next week. You ever need a rest for your soul? Now, I had this, I don't encourage you to do this, because I mean, I suppose it worked for you like it worked for me. God's no respecter of persons, but you have the word that's been given to you, and God expects more out of people who've been taught the word. But I remember one day in particular, I was just new in the Lord. I was a baby, and we were having marital things and problems going on and things not going right, and I was just stressed out to the max. And I remember one day sitting at my desk in my office and just saying, not here, but this was back many years ago when I just come to Christ. And I said, Lord, I need rest. And I'm going to tell you something supernatural came over me. And I just fell off to sleep. He not only gave me rest for my soul, he gave rest for my body. See, but now the word of God, how many know when you are stressed out and things, I can tell you what, I can get caught up in all this stuff, you know, and things that are going on here and concerns about all this and the care of the churches, you know, it tries to come on me. And then I'll get in the word, you know, and get preparing and for Sunday or something like that. And I'm going to tell you, it just, man, lifts me up. And just, I just said, what was I concerned about all that stuff for? Amen. That stuff's not important. Amen. You know, and the word of God just give me rest to my soul. Amen. Not only producing power, but rest. And as it penetrates your soul, it produces rest. Well, it can penetrate your body and give your body rest. You see, the word covers the whole spectrum of man. His spirit, his soul, and his body. Can you say amen? Now, let's go look at John 6 and see what Jesus said about his word. And what we're talking about tonight is spiritual power in a physical body. Amen. John 6, 63, Jesus said, Himself, because these are red words, right? It is the Spirit that what? Quickeneth. The Word of God is what? Huh? What's the first thing he said? Quick. It's a living thing, which means, here's what he's saying. Look at me. What he's saying is, the Word of God is a life-giving thing, a life-producing thing, a powerful life producer. The Logos. Now, here, right here, is Logos. That's all the combined sayings of God that you needed. And so he had them penned for you. We're primarily New Testament Christians. So when that word gets in us, we have life-producing, living, active, energizing power. And people come to church and get a whole belly full of it. You come here, I always give you more than you want. And a lot of times more than you can bear. But it's in there, and the purpose of it, sugar pie, is to bring life-producing power, your spirit, soul, and your body. Can you say amen? My words are spirit, he said. It is the spirit that quickeneth. He said, my words are spirit. It's the spirit that quickeneth. My words are spirit. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. My words are what? Spirit. So it is the word that quickeneth. It is the word that giveth life. It is the word that's a life producer. And it's the word that you need. And instead of running around to everybody else in town, it's the word you need. My words, they are spirit and they are life producing. Case closed. Spirit words created all life. Spirit words created all physical things. Spirit words created all matter. Matter. This is matter. This is matter. That's matter. The trees are matter. Okay? Spirit words created all of it. Isn't that amazing? Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Hebrews 11, 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. My words, they are spirit and they are life. They're quick and they're powerful and they're energizers. The word's an energizer. You ever needed energy? I'll tell you, the word coming to me gives me energy. It affects my physical body. all animal life, all plant life, all matter, all flesh, all bone was given life by spirit words. And wherever God's word is released, life is endeavoring to be produced if we'll let it. Go to John 1. Is this good? Amen. You think I this? John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the
word,
which is what? Spirit. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, the Word, and without Him, Word was not anything made that was made. In Him, the Word was life. There it is again. And the life was the light in men. And then in verse 14 says, and the Word was what? Huh? What did it say? The Word was what? The Word was made flesh and dwelt upon. Let me ask you a question. Can the Word today, if it's life and if it's spirit and if it's quick and if it's alive and if it's active and if it's energizing, if you're energizing, then you're releasing energy, you're doing something, you're creating something, right? Can the Word today become physical flesh again? Can the Word today become physical flesh again? If the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, can that Word, has that Word lost any of its power? Can it become flesh again? Yes, amen. Look at Luke 8, verse 11. Let's see what Jesus says. I'm having fun. Are y'all having fun? I release a lot of energy, but I do have fun. Amen. Luke 8, 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the what? Word of God, which is quick and powerful and active and alive and energizing and life-producing. Glory to Jesus. And so God's word is seed, and wasn't it God's word, which is life-producing, which is seed, that went into the womb of Mary? Didn't God's seed, which is word, which is life-producing, which is active, alive, and energizing, need a womb? It did. And the seed was sown, and then the word was made what? Hallelujah! And then he said, and through faith you understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So God took his word, and he made, the Bible says he comprehended the dust in the palm of his hand, or the earth, whatever. So he took his word, because in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and then he says, and the Spirit of God, and God said, and then the Spirit of God moved. When God said, the Spirit of God moved. So the Spirit of God took God's word, and he moved. He said, let there be light, and he just created light out of the what? So all the light you see, the light coming out of that stuff, is for what? Where'd that light come from? Well, where did the energy come from? The only thing energizing is the Word. What keeps the moon in its socket? He upholds all things by the Word of His power, right? That's life producing. So he took that, he had the picture, and he said he comprehended in his hand, you know, and I don't know whether he made a little small dust first or maybe he took a little Evan dust, I don't know. But he comprehended, and he just said, let there be light, but he also said, let the dry land appear. So then the God took his word and created dust. But you trace that dust back to, and God took his word and created trees. But you trace that tree back to the word. So the trees you see out there came from a seed, it came from a tree, it came from a seed, it came from a tree, it came from a seed, it came from a tree, it came from God, right? Which came from the word of God, which was Jesus, who was the word in the beginning. So Jesus is the word. Jesus is the seed, and Jesus is the life producer, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And my God, look what that Word did when it walked on this planet. And then he took his Word, his dust that he created, and formed a little shape, and then he breathed the breath of life. And all life comes from what? So then he put his word back into the dust that came from the word. And then all of a sudden he became a living soul. And the word from the dust, the body came to life, became flesh. The word was made flesh, not just with Jesus, with Adam. That was the word made flesh. Because it came from the word, didn't it? Are y'all out there? Amen.
Amen.
Do you have any rights to put any more importance on anything else. Because you came from a mama who had a seed planted, who came from a mama who had a seed planted, who came from a mama who had a seed planted, who came from a mama who came out of a rib, who came out from a man, who came from the dust, who came from the Word. Right? I mean, how many times you heard them say at funerals, what does they say? They're talking about the body, aren't they? Ashes to ashes and what? Dust. Dust. And what did God say to Adam after he sinned? From dust thou came and from dust you shall return. So really, your flesh and the dust have the same molecular structure. The same chemical, let me say like this then. Not the same molecular structure, they have the same chemical background. You trace it back, your body, it decays, it goes back to dust. It came from the dust of the earth. It's just that there's a life producer in it. And the reason you live every day, you know why you live every day? Same reason the moon hangs up in the socket every day. Same reason the sun don't come out of its place and move 2 miles closer. I'm told if it moved just a little bit closer, we'd all fry. We thought we were today, but we didn't. Right? And I'm told in the summertime is farther away than it is in the wintertime. Is that right? I can't figure that out. Don't even try to explain that to me. I just thought like if you went farther away, you'd get cooler. But, you know, whatever. But if you get closer, you get cooler. And if you go farther away, you get hotter. And that don't make any sense to me at all. But I'm glad I don't have to figure it out. Amen. I just know where it comes from. Amen. And I know where you came from. Amen. Dust. Mr. Dust, have you got any agape out there? He upholds you. It's the reason you don't fry and the reason you don't die, because he's upholding you by the word of his power. Amen. Right? Amen. You know why people die? Most of them because they're believing to die. They've set themselves in agreement with everything else and what everybody else has said about dying. But you know why a person who has an assignment on it? You remember when we talked about Sunday where Jesus said, I came, I come, I leave, and I go? Huh? Remember that? Why did he leave and he go? Because he'd finished what he'd done and came and come to do, right? Huh? And so when he came and then he come to do, and then when he do what he came and come to do, he said, now I'm going to leave and I'm going to go. I'm going back to the Father, right? So he was upheld here and everything. And then he just laid down his life. But when we're done, it's by the Word we leave. It's by the Word we stay. It's in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. Jesus said, I live for the Father. That's the reason I'm living. Isn't that nice? So he took his word, made dust, no life into it, had the potential, and then he breathed the breath of life into it, the word into it, and became a living soul. The word was made flesh. So if Hebrews 4:12 is true, the word's quick and powerful and active, alive, energizing. And if John 1:14 is true, the word became flesh. And then in Luke 8, the word is the seed. Then I would have to say and get from this that that word still is life producing. And the Bible says, no word of God's void of power. Huh? The same word produces just like it did in Genesis 1. Let me show you something. Go to Matthew 3. Look what Jesus, so Jesus or John, it might have been John said this. I think it was John. Matthew 3, verse 9. I'm in 2. Okay. Now, it wasn't this John. This is John talking, I think. He's baptizing. But he said in verse 9, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Why? Because they're the same chemical breakdown, aren't they? Huh? Oh, aren't they? the stones, and you powder them down to dust, and the body of man, same chemical breakdown. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Go to Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And God made a firmament divide. That's 1, 7. 2, Jimmy. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So there it is. Word of God not lost his power. The word became meat. Now look at here. The word became meat. The word became tissue. The word became muscle. The word became eyes. The word became hair. The word became teeth. Isn't that the same word as eyeballs, the same word as teeth? Same word as fingernails, the same word as hair. But they're all of a different molecular structure. But if you root it and you get to the basis of it, it is the word. So the word has the ability to, remember, it is active, alive, it is energizing, it is energy. Through the word, it can, if it became flesh, it can become flesh today. It can become a fingernail. It can become meat. It can become bone. It can become eyeballs. It can become brain. Same word. My brain's made out of the same word that my toes are made out of. Hallelujah. I mean, I done found the source of my body. And if at any time I just may need another body part, if it's active, alive, a living, powerful living thing, energizing, producing. I mean, you watch Star Trek. You don't like Star Trek? I'm a Trekkie, right? And they say, beam me up, Scotty. Okay, now what happens? All of a sudden, all of his cells and atoms and molecules of his body, it changes molecular structure and it becomes gaseous, right? And then he's, and he's loose here, but then it put all back together up there. Man, he couldn't get a better example of Hebrews 4:12 than that. I mean, that's when every time I see it, I say, there's Hebrews 4:12 right there. It's energizing. Because they would, sometimes they'd say, beam me up. Then sometimes he'd say, energize. So the word is full of energy, isn't it? Say amen if you can. Hallelujah. So, this is so good. John 20. I'm just teaching this good lesson to you out of the kindness of my heart. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of this week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. Luke chapter 24. Let's back up to Luke. Is there a 24? Yeah. Luke 24, verse 36. Are you there yet? And as they thus spake, Jesus stood in the midst of them. He just appeared. And said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do you thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and of an honeycomb, that was broiled flounder probably, and he took it and did eat before them. Now, prior to the death, now this is after the death of Jesus, isn't it? This is after the resurrection. So now he's got this glorified body. So now he's got a body that's totally controlled by spiritual laws. It's not subject, I mean, natural laws have no control over it. You can't stop it. He wants to be somewhere, he's just there. He's just there, right? I mean, you know, where does he travel? Speed of thought. I mean, I want to be there. Before he get there out of his mouth, he's there. Right? And so, but now prior to his death, he had a body like Adam had before Adam sinned. Now, when you watch that body walk, now it's a body. You could touch it, you could see it, you could feel it. And so he was operating through faith and on God's word, still operating on spiritual laws. But how many remember that in Acts chapter 8, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. But in Acts 8, it was that he was down in the Gaza in the desert. And the angel, one of them told him where to go, but the Spirit of God told him to join himself to the chariot. And the Ethiopian was coming through there. And he said, join yourself to that chariot. And he did, he preached to him. And after, the Bible says, that when he finished speaking, he was in Azotus. After he baptized that Ethiopian in water, when he come up out of the water, the Bible refers to it and says, you look at it for yourself, he was in Azotus. He was not in Gaza in the desert anymore. Amen. He was translated. Spiritual power operating in a physical body.
Amen.
Jesus had spiritual power operating. Now, he had spiritual power. Now, this is one thing that helps you to see it. In the commission to the church, he told us to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and he said, signs will follow you. In my name, they'll do these things. And he said, they'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Now, what are you doing? You're releasing spiritual power out of your spirit man, but your hands, your body, is the transmitter, and the law of contact and transmission goes. And so the moment you put your hands, and by faith you release the anointing that comes from the word you've built in you that produced faith in you. And that word that produced that faith that you got inside of you is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces when you lay your hands on you and point it. It'll pierce their body. It'll pierce their soul. It'll pierce their spirit. Amen. Say amen, somebody. And just by releasing words out of your mouth, we'll cast out spirits. That's spiritual power coming from a spirit on the inside of a physical body. Not talking about having a glorified body. Not talking about being in heaven. We're talking about with the body that we have right now. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus, prior, was the Word. The Word laid hands. The Word imparted life. And the Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What will the same Word do in a human body? Can it, if Jesus can appear, if we know that Philip was translated, there had to be a changing. There had to be something that took place. Can you say amen?
Amen.
What will that word do in a human body? Can it change molecular structure? Can it produce power in the body?
Amen.
Proverbs 4. My son, attend to my, incline thine ear to my, let them not depart from thine, keep them in the midst of thine, for they are, and my words are spirit, and they are life, for they are life unto those that find them, and what?
Health
to what?
All
to all their flesh. What can the word do to sickness and disease? Sickness and disease is nothing more than a breakdown in molecular structure. But this is the Logos of God, which is what? Even the Logos, it's a sword. It is sharp. It is quick. It is alive. It is active. It is energizing. The working of miracles is creative. The working of miracles is energizing. The working of miracles builds something there that was not there. That's the word being made flesh. Or bone, or teeth, or eyes, or hearts, or kidneys, or lungs, or livers, gallbladders, pancreas, colons. Glory to Jesus. Teeth, hair, and eyeballs. Glory to God. Some people say, well, this guy got in a wreck. Yeah, what happened, man? Teeth, hair, and eyeballs all over the concrete. Great day in the morning. Well, you know what? When Jesus coming in, so they take those teeth, hair, and eyeballs and put them in a bag or something and then go put them in a coffin. And then when Jesus comes back and raptures the church or whatever, and there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust, and he's going to take the teeth, hair, and eyeballs, which they now become dust, he's going to make them back into teeth, hair, and eyeballs, and then put them all back together by the word of his power. What can the word do to flesh, to organs, to brain tissue? What can the word do to cancer, to tumors, to blood? It's help to all their flesh. What can the word do to bones? What can the word do to arthritis? What did he say? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrow. What are we talking about? Spiritual power, which is the word, and it's a powerful living thing in a physical body, spirit, soul, and body. Psalms 107:20, he sent his word and healed them. Matthew 8, verse 8, I believe that's the centurion, and I could quote it, but I'm going to let you go there and look at it. Yes. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy thou shouldest come into my roof, but speak the
word.
Only speak the what?
Word.
And my servant shall be what?
Healed.
The molecular structure will be put back right. Luke 5:15. Ain't got to the best part yet. But it's good. Isn't it good? Luke 5. I said, is this good?
Amen.
Answer me when I talk to you. Amen.
Amen.
But verse 15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to
hear
what?
Word.
And to be healed of their
infirmities.
And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which came out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And he was doing what? He was teaching, won't? And the power of the Lord was present to do what? Because the word's going forth, and the word is what? Quick, living, active, alive, energizing, spirit, life, producing. Glory to God forever. So the word, if allowed, will penetrate flesh, will energize flesh, will change the flesh, spiritual power in a physical body. Let's look at something else. Go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. Oh yeah, y'all all want to all go out and preach this. I can see it right now on you. 1 Kings chapter 18. And it came, are you there yet? 1 Kings chapter 18, spiritual power in a physical body. What are the limitations to it? Well, whatever a body is supposed to do, it'll do it more. It'll do it better. It'll do it bigger. Whatever a spirit's supposed to do, it'll do it more. It'll do it better. It'll do it bigger. Whatever a soul is supposed to think or any kind of willpower, it'll do it more, do better, and do it bigger. Are you listening to me? Now, in verse 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I'll send rain upon the earth. Now, God's going to send it, but see, Ahab has already said, because he had spiritual power in a physical body, and he was a prophet, and the anointing came upon him, that it's not going to rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't rain. But God says it's going to rain again. And so then he goes, gets Ahab, and he all gets, remember, you know, he went out there and he gets all of Baal's prophets, 450 of them, you know, and then tells them to cry all day and make the sacrifice, and then if their God answered by fire, that's the one we're going to serve. And they cried all day and prayed all day, and their God had gone on vacation. But then Elijah cried out, and the fire from heaven came down and consumed the thing. Remember that? And then all of a sudden there was this rain, said there's rain coming. Now go down to the end of the chapter and verse. Let's go to verse, because he told his servant, go out and see. Verse 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there rises a little cloud out of the sea, because he told him his rain is coming. And when he saw that little cloud, I'm telling you, Elijah took off because a frog strangler's coming, man. Look out now. Oh, hallelujah. There rises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Abraham, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not, because it's fixing to come, boys. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord, though, was on Elijah. He had spiritual power in a physical body, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. He outran the chariots. We're talking about spiritual power in a physical body. The hand of the Lord, look here, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. That's the Holy Ghost. The hand of the Lord is on Elijah. Well, how did the hand of the Lord move when God said, let there be light? And what did the hand of the Lord move on? The word that was spoken out of God's mouth, and he said, my words, they are spirit, and they are life, right? So the hand of the Lord is on him. Now, we're talking about supernatural. We're talking about beyond natural. We're talking about something that you can't normally do. You can't outrun horses. Your wind can't last as long as the horses do. But he girded up his clothes, pulled his pants leg up because it was fixing to rain, and took off and outran him. outran the horses. We're talking about spiritual power in the physical body, folks. Now let me ask you a question. Was that Old Testament or New Testament? Is the Old Testament better than the new one? Is this fantasy or is this what? Is this something we just fantasize about or is it real? Is our covenant better than the old one? Well then, is there spiritual power today? You got a lap full of Logos right there. If you just get a little agape with it, it might work for you. Hey, we got any agape out there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to Judges chapter 24. I'm sorry, there ain't no 24, is it? My first mistake today. I know, it's verse 24. Judges 13, verse 24. You're laughing with me, aren't you? Not at me. All right. Judges 13, 24. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan. Man, this guy is superhuman. The Bible says that he ripped apart a lion as if it was a lamb. And of course, I can't see us ripping apart a lamb. He slew 30 men the first time. Then he caught 300 foxes and set their tails on fire and burnt Philistines' corn crop down. Then he slew 1,000 Philistines with jawbone of an ass. Found a jawbone of an ass that had died and slew 1,000 Philistines with it. We're talking about spiritual power in a physical body. Now, is this Old Testament or New Testament? Well, is the Old Testament better than the New Testament? Is there any spiritual power around today? Will the Word work today? I tell you, I feel like outrunning a few horses, don't you? Glory to God. Spiritual power in a physical body. And when he came into the Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. And his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass. And put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. Great day in the morning. Look at what God did in the Old Testament. You think you're reading about supermen. We read about one guy that slew 800 by himself. We read about Eleazar who slew a whole Philistine army, it says. Don't know how many was in there. We read about David's mighty men of valor. Is this fantasy? Is the Old Testament better than the New? We're talking about supernatural human strength, spiritual power in a physical body. Let's go look at a counterpart of it. Mark chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, are y'all there yet? Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke into pieces, neither could any man tame him. Here is a body responding to spiritual power, doing more than it normally can do. This is spiritual power, the counterpart, the opposite of it, the anti-God, operating in the physical body, isn't it? Can you say amen? Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive what?
Power,
that's the word dunamis, which means miracle working ability. In Luke 5:5, Jesus, they had fished all night, and Jesus came and said, cast out your boat into the for a drought. And Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all night, nevertheless, at thy word, which is what? Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of spirit, soul and body and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And it is a living thing, active, energizing, producing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we all know that he went out and caught a net-breaking, boat-linking, boat-sinking load for two ships, right? Had to call others to come get him. Now, let's go read about another one. Go to Matthew chapter 14 and look at another story here and talk about spiritual power in a physical body. Matthew 14 and verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them because he came to them walking on the sea, didn't he? I'd say that's spiritual power in a physical body, wouldn't you? Huh? Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. There's the word of God in it. Now that word come, everybody say come.
Come.
That one word is quick and powerful and alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, the body. It produces power in the spirit, power in the soul, and power in the what? Spiritual power in a physical body. And on that one word, it says to us in the very in that same verse, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I'd have to say that's spiritual power in a physical body. Wouldn't you? Sure, he walked on the water, but it took God's word to uphold him and operate in his life. Now, you look at Moses. Moses died, the Bible says, at 120. Right? The Bible says that when he died, that his eyes were not dim, neither was his physical force abated.
Right.
In other words, that meant that his physical body operated just like a young man's.
Amen.
At 120.
Hallelujah.
That was Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Old Testament better than the New Testament?
No.
Moses is a type of Christ. Well, is a type better than the true?
Mm-mm.
Is a type better than the real thing?
No.
He was the type, but we have the real thing.
Amen.
The real thing living inside of us.
Amen.
Then the Bible talks about Sarah, who was being past the flower of her age at 90 years old, received strength to conceive seed.
Amen.
She received strength. And you can believe it that Abraham had to receive strength to give it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
The Bible says Abraham was old and well stricken in age. That doesn't mean sick. Because he had six children after Sarah. I counted them up. Six. I'm talking about spiritual power in a physical body.
Amen.
We talked about developing the spirit of man, talked about developing the soul of man, but let's talk about developing the body of man. And let's look and see how the limitations we put on physical bodies. If people, what is it? What is it somebody's translated? That's got to be spiritual power operating. That's not operating on natural laws. Ain't no natural law can translate anybody.
Amen.
All of a sudden, Jesus appeared in the mist. All of a sudden, Philip's preaching. And all of a sudden, when he comes up, after he's got him baptized in water because he knows after you get him baptized, then he's buried the old dead man, he's going to make it.
Amen.
See, don't stop, just get him saved. You got to get him baptized in water and teach him what it means so they can release faith in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's translated over Azotus because that's where God needed him.
Amen.
Why didn't God get somebody else that was already there? I don't know. Maybe he didn't have anybody. But I just know this. We see manifestation after manifestation, this phenomenon. It's a phenomenon in the Word. How spiritual power operated on natural bodies, not just glorified bodies.
Amen.
It can change. If it can become flesh, it can become flesh today.
That's right. Amen.
It can change molecular structure.
Amen.
Your ear is made out of the same word as your toe.
Amen.
As the dust we vacuum up off this floor. If it's sand, that type of dust, you know what I mean? Earth. It's just a different molecular structure. It's just different. And I know that he can do it because he said he can make children out of these stones.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when you break the chemical breakdown of a body and stones or dust are the same because that's where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
That just shows you how life producing. Well, I know he's got this dust here. It's inanimate. It's not living. But look what he did to that living,
Amen.
To that dead, lifeless dirt.
Amen.
He made a life out of it from his life-giving word that penetrated that dust and made it. Wow. Everybody say wow.
Wow.
Say wow backwards.
Wow.
Wow. It's a wow both ways, ain't it? At a wow, you're coming and going, won't it? Huh? Everybody say spiritual power.
Spiritual power.
In a physical body.
In a physical body.
The word has the ability.
The word has
if I will cooperate with it.
If I will cooperate with it.
And don't fall.
By the same example of unbelief,
hardness of heart,
stubbornness and rebellion,
then I can enter into my rest
in my spirit,
in my soul,
and in my body.
There is a rest that remaineth for the children of God. Rest for the spirit, rest for the soul, rest for the body. So let's get ready to have some spiritual power in a physical body. I've heard of people, you know, I mean, read that book, Like a Mighty Wind. That's an old one about a revival that happened years ago in the Philippines, wasn't it? Where it came from, yeah. The man that wrote the book. It started with a Methodist church, I believe it was, in the Philippines. How all of a sudden the whole choir got filled with the Holy Ghost. But they were walking on water. They were walking on water. There were supernatural things. Now, God will just do supernatural things, and these are grace gifts. But what about, you know... If grace gifts don't go into operation, then what have we got? Faith.
Amen.
Right. Wigglesworth said, the Spirit don't move, I move the Spirit.
Amen.
Through what? Force of faith?
Uh-huh.
Spiritual power in a physical body. We'll talk about next, spiritual power in a glorified body. Then we'll talk about the abode of the wicked dead. And then I'll talk to you. My last message will be, the last message of this series will be on instant, always, once you develop your spirit man, always, 150% of the time, instantly obey the voice of your spirit. That's how I'll finish up this series with you. If you'll do these things that I've taught in this series, you'll be mature. You'll make a change.
Amen.
If I've helped you understand what is carnality, what is flesh, I tell you something we're going to do too. This church is going to learn to love. We have to. I'm going to talk about that some more today. But the Lord, because I was through Sunday, but the Lord said, pardon me while I interrupt you. You're not through. And he rang a scripture to me that I'd read hundreds of times. And he said, see what that means? And I said, God, I never saw that. I never saw that. He said, you talk to him Sunday about that verse of scripture. See, as a spirit being who tells me that what's important for me and for you is for me to tell you what he has said in his word. Amen. To teach you his word.
Amen.
And that's what we put in practice.
Amen.
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 Don't just come and hear, but come, receive, and do.
Amen.
What it says. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I think we get these places and make these decisions and people get in the right place and do what they're supposed to do and act like Christians, that we'll have a lot of movements of the gifts of the Spirit here. How come you reckon they haven't happened? Holy Spirit can't operate in an atmosphere that's not in love. He ain't going to. You just run, he runs from it. He'll run from anything. If it's not love, he just runs from it.
Amen.
There's only one message that counts. Brother Scales has got it. He only teaches one message wherever he goes. That's love. And then when you talk about love, you can talk about healing. You can talk about deliverance. You can talk about salvation. You can talk about the Holy Ghost. You can talk about everything. But Sunday's going to be good. Sunday's going to be good. You don't even want to miss Sunday. I can't hardly wait to see what I'm going to say. To hear what I'm going to say. Because it's going to be good. Hallelujah. I tell you sometimes, you know, I tell you, and I said, the Lord tell me that. Now, you have to understand, I'm not lying to you. I tell you, the Lord tells me, and I know his voice. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. Brother Lindsay, y'all get anything out of this tonight?
Yeah.
What'd you get? How much was it worth tonight? How much was this word worth tonight? Y'all not ever lose it, forget this message. How much is it worth? I didn't hear anybody. Oh, well, Lindsay's time to receive the tithe and offering. Amen.